At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Finding the right news podcast can feel like dating. It seems promising until you start listening.
When you hit play on Post Reports, you'll get fascinating conversations and sometimes a little fun too. I'm Martine Powers.
And I'm Elahe Azadi. Martine and I are the hosts of Post Reports. The show comes out every weekday from the Washington Post.
You can follow and listen to Post Reports wherever you get your podcasts. It'll be a match, I promise.
Welcome into Long Shots, the world's number one rated golf betting show here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network. I'm Brady Cannon along with Wes Reynolds. And before we get to this week's event, the WGC match play, we take a look back at the Honda Classic, the final leg of the Florida Swing. And it was Matt Jones, your first round leader. He opened up with a 61, a 9 under par. He went three shots deeper over the next 3 days and turned that into a win at 12 under par. His next closest competitor was five shots back of Jones. He earns his second PGA Tour victory of his career, a trip to the Masters, which is just 16 days away. And I'll tell you what, Wes, you know, looking back, he made some sense. He played very well at some corollary courses like the Sony and Riviera. He's a very good putter, and it never hurts to take an Australian at a course where you're expecting some wind.
Yeah, absolutely. First in the field for Tee to Green this week, second in strokes gained around the green, seventh in approach, 10th in strokes gained off the tee. So that's going to be a recipe for success going forward. Matt Jones, by the way, now gets into the top 50 in the world in the OWGR official world golf rankings. First time in his career. Last win was the 2014 Shell Houston Open. He is not in this field this week, though, for the match play because the cutoff was about 10 days ago to be in that top 64. But he does get that Masters invitation, that 2-year PGA Tour exemption, which is always nice. So big win for Matt Jones, who just recently turned 40 years old.
You know, we felt this event was going to be pretty random with no definitive favorites, or at least very few of them. And sure enough, it turned out that way with not a whole lot of the hot names finishing high up on the leaderboard. One guy that you and I were both on, Cameron Tringali, finished 13th. And then some other notable players that did come in, Adam Scott, Sungjae Im, and Russell Henley all finished inside the top 15. But otherwise, you know, it was really a needle in a haystack trying to find a winner here.
It was, because the field was down a little bit anyway, because it was the week after the Players, and then it was also the week before the Dell Technologies match play, which we of course have this week. So you did have some unfamiliar names on the board there, a lot of randomness. Honda Classic, usually a good event with a good field, just kind of got stuck in a bad spot in the schedule, but not a bad spot for Matt Jones, who cashes at 70-1. I think he was 80-1 actually, right here at the South Point. So nice score for those of you that cashed on Matt Jones. Congratulations.
The WGC match play, it's a World Golf Championship, our second one of the year. Of course, just recently in place of the WGC Mexico, we had the concession at the concession golf course that was won by Colin Morikawa, another World Golf Championship here in a very difficult handicap this week in a very different format. Of course, the top 64 players in the world, more or less, a few chose to skip it this week, and they have been been replaced by a handful of alternates. But the first through 64 players are seeded, and then they are broken into 16 groups of four. Those groups will play one another between Wednesday and Friday, and then the winner of each of those groups emerges to the weekend, where it then does, Wes, become one and done or knockout play, and eventually we crown a winner on Sunday.
Yeah, and usually when we talk about this, and we'll have some outrights at the end of the show, but this isn't one you really load up on outrights because you have matchups every single round, plus you also have to win the various groups, the groups of 16 you mentioned. Players not here that are notable this week, Tiger Woods and Brooks Koepka missing this week with obvious injuries. Justin Rose had some back spasms in Orlando, and he withdrew from the API, also missed the players. Gary Woodland still in quarantine with the positive COVID-19 test, and Adam Scott just going to go ahead and take the week off and wait to try to win another green jacket in Augusta.
Yeah, Adam Scott has not, or has chosen to not play in the match play event for a long time. I don't know, just maybe doesn't really suit his fancy for Adam Scott, and so he has once again chosen to skip this event. But I mentioned how difficult it is to handicap, and you talked about maybe picking a few outrights, and I think another thing that's very important that I always do when I get to the match play event, I really dumb down my units. Mm-hmm. I don't go mm-hmm. all in with a lot of cash here because it is so difficult, and it's different from any other tournament that we're handicapping week to week.
Yeah, it's still wide open, but not as wide open since they've gone to pool play. You've seen some more favorites like Dustin Johnson and Jason Day win these events over the years, but you will see some dark horses that get deep into the draw here.
Well, we'll see if we can find a winner, whether it's a dark horse or a favorite or somewhere in between. And joining us now will be Alex Myers. He's a senior writer for Golf Digest. We'll bring him in to break down the WGC match play with us right here on Long Shots. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, previewing the WGC match play, the second match play event of the year here in 2021. And this was one of the first events that was affected by COVID in 2020. So we haven't played the match play in a couple of years now. Alex, thank you so much for joining us. Again, Alex Myers is our guest, a senior writer for Golf Digest. You can follow him on Twitter at AlexMyers3. And I know you've been on the program. You're, a two or three time offender here as a guest on Long Shots, Alex. So thank you very much for coming on once again. And I want to go through, Wes and I were just mentioning 16 groups of four that will do the pool play for Wednesday through Friday. And I just want to go through a few of them and note the odds on each player to emerge from those groups and see who maybe you like. And I'll start with our first group here with the number one seed, Dustin Johnson, the top seed in the entire event. He is grouped with Kevin Na, Robert McIntyre out of Scotland, and Adam Long, a journeyman PGA Tour player who won the American Express a few seasons ago. But Johnson, still plus money, a fairly heavy favorite at plus 110. Kevin Na at 3-1 to win the group, McIntyre at plus 350, and Adam Long at 4-1 to win this pod.
Yeah, you know, it's tough not to pick just Dustin Johnson, right? Especially when you're saying he's still plus money. I've seen him as low as minus 120 there. But, you know, I'm trying to stay away from the favorites, if that makes any sense. There might be a couple. Dustin would be one of the guys who I would think about doing. But, you know, behind him, I kind of like Kevin Na, 3-1. He's played well in this pod system before. Obviously, he had that WD at the Players with the back injury, but I think none of us are too concerned about that. He made the 8 on 17 and hit another ball in the water on 18. So I think Na probably presents the best value in that group.
Alex, we'll go to group two real quick. And I think maybe you do have a vulnerable favorite in this group, despite the fact that we were able to win on him for the Players Championship at 22-1. But I'm not sure how much he's back, and his group is loaded with good match play players. Louis Oosthuizen, runner-up here. Kevin Kisner won last time here in 2019, was also a runner-up. And Matt Kuchar's out of form, but he's had a tendency to play well in this event, has a very good record on this course. So I'm a little lukewarm on JT. Do you think he's back, or was that just one of those elite ball-striking weeks that he's capable of at Sawgrass?
You know, I'm not as much worried about JT as I am about the other guys. Like you mentioned, I mean, this is what we would call the group of death in right. If it was the World Cup. And I mean, when I saw this come out, and like you mentioned, I mean, Kuchar is definitely a little down, but he's been a force in this event throughout the years. Of course, Kevin Kisner, the defending champ, and was the runner-up previously. So talk about a run that he's been on. And then, yeah, Louis Oosthuizen, another strong match player. So, you know, to me, again, it's not really as much Thomas. It's just I would have to pick someone down the board. And it's just tough not to pick Kisner, considering those last 2 years, especially you're getting about 3-1 with him as well. In fact, if I going through a lot of these groups, I kind of like that, you know, the second or third guy, you know, someone who's in that 3-1 range, because, you know, these guys are all so good. We all know that. I mean, they all have about the same chance of coming out of there. So you might as well take the odds. And especially with Kisner, he's the guy who played so well last time. They said, oh, he's got to make the Ryder Cup team. And then they still didn't put him on the Ryder Cup team, even though he won. So I think he's still trying to get on that team. Another strong showing. Steve Stricker would have to give him the nod for Team USA.
Alex, I think you bring up a good point that in these groups of four, all of the guys kind of have about the same chance. Now, obviously, Dustin Johnson is a higher rated player than an Adam Long right. or something. But match play is such a different format that I think it brings more randomness. It brings more long shots into play. Something to think about there when you're betting this tournament. Another group that I think is very interesting is the group with Matthew Fitzpatrick, Jordan Spieth, Corey Connors, and Matthew Wolff. Now, Matthew Wolff has not been in good form, but again, you never know in this type of format. Matthew Fitzpatrick has been in very good form, as has Jordan Spieth, and as has Corey Connors, all coming off of very good finishes recently, both in California and in Florida. Fitzpatrick and Spieth are the favorites at 2-1. Connors shortly behind them at +250, and then Matthew Wolff at +450.
Yeah, this is another interesting one, because I think this was the first time they didn't do a public draw, you know, a bracket seating party or whatever they call it. And I, when I saw this one, I said, how did Jordan Spieth luck out to get these other three guys? You mentioned, I mean, Corey Connors has been playing great. Fitzpatrick has been very solid, no doubt. But still, when you're Jordan Spieth, I mean, he's the lowest rated guy in this group. And yet you're talking about him being the favorite. I mean, that just is crazy. I know he's been playing well, but it just shows you that he kind of got a nice draw. That being said, I do still like Matt Fitzpatrick. I would not touch Matthew Wolff based on what he's shown this year. I don't know what is up with him. Connors has been very strong, but, you know, an unproven commodity in match play. I just think Fitzpatrick, a former USAM winner, he's gotten through a tournament like this, a big-time tournament. You know, he's rattling those putts in off the flagstick every which way. I think that could get in guys' heads even. And I just think he's probably the guy to beat in this group.
Alex, just one player is actually minus money where he's total chalk in a group, and that would be John Rahm in Group 3. I think he's about minus 102, minus 105 here. Mm-hmm. The only one with a minus by his name, and he's a guy I kind of like this week. But I wanted to kind of ask you maybe more of a macro question about Rahm. He's not playing poorly, but there seems to be – it's not his usual standard from what we've seen over years past. He hasn't really fired with the win. He usually does so early in the year. Is there anything that stands out to you? Is it just the putting, that he's just not putting very well right now? Because the ball striking seemed to be pretty good, and he was right in the mix at the Players, just didn't fire on Sunday.
Well, that's what I was going to say. It's weird. I mean, it seems like he's been in the mix a few times and then really stumbled on the weekend, which is not like him. I mean, even, you know, even if he doesn't close the door, usually he posts those really high finishes, which is why, you know, until Justin Thomas moved ahead of him, he was number two in the world. So I do think it's just the putting right now. I also, I mean, if we're going to look at it from a macro perspective, he's got the baby coming. He was asked again about it today. He doubled down on the fact that even if he were in contention or whatever at the Masters, he would leave. He flat out said, maybe don't bet on me at the Masters. And for someone who bets on him every year at the Masters, I'm now going to have to rethink my strategy, right? So I'm going to have to rethink that strategy. So, you know, maybe in one way you might say, well, this is the week then that he has to really do something before he maybe takes a little bit of a break. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, you know, looking back at Rory last year and everything else around the baby, I mean, you know, maybe it's just too much going on right now and he's throwing the putting. So I normally would love him in this event. Obviously, he's a former runner-up here, but minus money in any of these pods, I don't care who the other three guys are. It's just tough to take someone with that low of odds.
Wes and Alex, if John Rahm is the 54-hole leader at Augusta on Sunday, we'll see if he takes off, if that baby's about to be born, right?
Right.
Maybe second thoughts on that one, John.
Right.
Alex, let's look to another interesting group here. Patrick Reed, Joaquin Niemann, Christian Bezuidenhout, and Bubba Watson. Bubba Watson is a former winner here. He's 4-1. Patrick Reed, you know, Captain America at the Ryder Cup, he's +150 as the favorite. Bezuidenhout is number one on tour in strokes gained around the green. And I like to bet on guys that have good short games in a match play format. And then Joaquin Niemann, one of the best ball strikers on the planet at +240. Interesting group here.
Really interesting. And this is probably the sneaky group of death, because obviously you mentioned Reed's prowess in the match play. Bubba Watson, I mean, sneakily made it to the finals the last time. I mean, he's played well in this event. He hasn't played that great of late, but again, it's a different format. I mean, some guys get juiced up for this more than others. And yes, Bezuidenhout is definitely an under the radar guy. I think he's almost up into the top 30 in the world. Just a lot of solid play, especially on the Florida swing. We saw it last year with him as well. So, you know, I actually think he would be my guy. I mean, I'm seeing, I don't know what you see here, but I've seen him at about +350. He would be the guy that I would look to in that group. And that's tough because I think Patrick Reed is clearly the class there in terms of match play, and maybe one of the class players in the entire field. But I just think the value, you're getting about three times as much value on Bezuidenhout, it'd be tough to pass up.
Alex, going to group 11 here, and that's featured by a former winner of this event, albeit at Harding Park, that being Rory McIlroy. And he's in the group with Cam Smith, Lanto Griffin, first appearance here. Cam Smith, mullet man, has been playing really well. And then we know Ian Poulter's prowess in match play, even though he's been a little bit out of form. Let me ask you about Rory, though. He is looking like he's going to change his swing coach to Pete Cowan. Yep. I know he's been advising him. Michael Bannon's been with him since he was a young amateur, and now he's working with somebody else. Do you think that this is the right move for Rory? Is it a panic move, or is it the right move at this point? Because his swing has looked a little off this year.
I think he needs to do something. I think he realizes that, you know, it's been almost 7 years since he won a major. It's stunning to think about that, the 2014 PGA Championship. And, you know, we've seen him win two player of the years in that span, and we've seen him contend so many times. So I think there's something lacking. I think he needs to switch something. I don't know if it was the coach. I don't know if it's the caddy. I don't know what it is, but he needs to switch something up, get a little better mojo to finish out these events, because he puts himself in position through 36 holes basically every week. And then it's either Saturday or Sunday where he comes out and he's a couple over of those first few holes, and then he's playing catch up the whole day. So I think he needs to do something. Maybe this event in general, he's played so well here. He won that year when he wound up watching that big Mayweather-Pacquiao fight in the media center with all the guys. He's got some good vibes here. So maybe just a totally different format helps him. But you mentioned Cam Smith has been playing some great golf as well. And of course, Ian Poulter is one of the best match players of this generation. So, you know, I think if Rory gets through this group, I'd be really scared of him getting into that Sweet 16, making another deep run. But it's going to be tough to get out of here.
He is Alex Myers. He's a senior writer at Golf Digest, and you can follow him on Twitter at AlexMyers3. And Alex, just getting past the groups a little bit, a bigger picture here, do you have anybody specifically that you have played or you think is a good bet to win their group or maybe win the whole darn thing?
Yeah, you know, it's so tough just because you don't even know if they're going to get through there. But I do, you know, so many guys don't have even a large sample size of match play, but one guy who does and has done very well is Paul Casey. And we saw him play really well at TPC Sawgrass recently. We saw him win earlier in the year in Dubai. You know, he seems rejuvenated for a guy in his early 40s. Obviously, you know, much of the focus has been on Lee Westwood lately, but I think Casey has ridden some of that as well. And, you know, I'm not going to go crazy on him, but I think if there was one guy who I think I kind of like, I just have a feeling about, it might be Paul Casey.
Paul Casey, 7-5-2 in his career record here at Austin. Very respectable. But on the other side of the coin, Alex, was looking at some of the losing records here. And Daniel Berger really stood out to me at 1-8, obviously dealing with an injury. Webb Simpson, 1-6-2, which is really surprising on a Pete Dye layout because he's so good at the Harbortown at the RBC Heritage. Any players you would look to go against here that you're just not feeling them this week here in Austin?
Well, you kind of mentioned two of the guys, and that's part of the reason why I like Casey, too. He's in that group with Webb Simpson. But, yeah, Daniel Berger, for whatever reason, in match play has not really gotten the job done either. Trying to find his group right here. He's it's with Harris Ingles, Brendan Todd, Eric Van Rooyen. So he's not in a particularly strong group, so maybe that helps him. Maybe, and again, you know, 1-8, it looks awful, but it is a pretty small sample size still. Maybe he's just gotten beat by a red hot player a few times and whatnot. So it's tough to tell, but so that's why I don't put too much into the, you know, the overall records, unless it's a guy like Casey or even a guy like Sergio who's had just a huge track record. You know, it's funny, you look at a guy, I think Lee Westwood has had the most pro match play matches. I saw a tally of this and he's 35-35. And to me, it just shows you that it's going to even out over time, right? It's kind of the clutch hitting in baseball, or the Moises Alou career stats versus his postseason stats, and they're identical because he has a whole season under his belt. So I kind of think that that's how we should look at it a little. You know, a guy gets hot just like they would during a normal week, but you do have to get lucky because, you know, you have to be matched up against the right guy. You could get a guy on his best day and just get knocked out and be playing great otherwise. So that's why I'm not going to go too crazy into the past records, unless maybe it is a guy with an even bigger sample size like some of these veterans.
Yeah, Daniel Berger is really befuddling. I thought this guy would be a great Ryder Cup player, and Kevin Kisner too, because they seem to take it really seriously, just grinders and real competitors. Yep. His record in this match play event is very surprising. Just about a minute left, Alex. We got to let you go here, but I wanted to see real quick if you already have a play on a particular player to win the Masters or anybody that you're considering. We're just a couple weeks away, my friend.
Sure. I can't believe it. We are a couple weeks away. It's getting very excited. You know, I rarely do this, and I should do it more, but I did make a futures bet the day that Jordan Spieth shot the 61 at Phoenix.
Oh, good for you.
Put a little on him at 50-1. And obviously what I've seen from him since, a few other top high finishes, hasn't, you know, made me less confident in that bet. If anything, I've seen him, what is he up to, about 15-16-1 now? So I'm feeling pretty good about Jordan Spieth. And other than that, I was going to go back, you know, to my boy John Rahm, but after hearing those comments today, I might have to reevaluate. So Jordan Spieth's my only play as of now, and we'll have to reevaluate with Rahm going down the road.
Well, you are certainly one of the few that got a great number on Jordan Spieth. Good job by you, and thank you as always for joining us, Alex. Enjoy the WGC match play.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks,
on.
Alex.
All right, that is Alex Myers, a senior writer at Golf Digest. Again, follow him on Twitter at AlexMyers3. When we come back, we'll preview the alternate event, the Corrales Putacana Championship, going on down in the Dominican Republic as we roll on Long Shots right here on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome back to Long Shots. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you on VSiN and VSiN.com, the sports betting network, the world's number one rated golf betting show. And speaking of the world, across the pond, they are already underway in Kenya for a European tour event. So no cross the pond segment this week. But we do have an alternate event, not necessarily in the States, down in the Dominican Republic. And it was just last September when we had the Corrales Punta Cana Championship. Hudson Swafford went on to win that. That was a part of the adjusted COVID schedule, and they played as a solo event. There was no WGC event alongside. Now we're back to somewhat of normalcy here. We have the top 64 players in the world at Austin Country Club for the WGC match play and the alternate event down at Punta Cana. And Wes, give us the scoop. Who are you on this week in the alternate event?
Yeah, it's not across the pond necessarily. It is across some bodies
across
of water.
Across the Caribbean, maybe?
Yes, down in the Dominican Republic. For the Corrales Punta Cana. You recall this event was back in September. It got moved back due to COVID, and it was actually a full event. Now it's back to its alternate spot from the WGC Dell Match Play. So no Masters invite for the winner, but 300 FedEx Cup points. Also that valuable two-year tour exemption, which is why you see so many guys electing to play here. And where I went, I did not go with the favorites, Thomas Peters, Charlie Hoffman, Grillo, Thomas Detry. It almost looks like a European event with Detry and
Haven't
Peters.
Haven't seen Peters on this side of the world in a while.
Yeah, so they're here for a reason. Obviously, want to pick up a win, pick up some points. If they're not already in the Masters already, at least they can move up in the golf ranking to maybe get to that. But the guys I played, you know, kind of some darts in this event, but that's what you're throwing here. Sepp Straka, 40-1, who I believe you also played interest as well. Very good history at alternate events. Second at the Barracuda back in 2019 up in Reno, Tahoe, and also 12th the following year. 11th on tour, strokes gained off the tee, 15 for strokes gained tee to green. Thought he fit here. Taylor Pendrith is a guy maybe a lot of people don't know about. He is a Canadian player, 40-1 this week, by the way. Was on PGA Tour Canada in 2019, won two events, promoted to the KFT last season, four runners-up and 22 starts. Now, it took a few weeks post-layoff for him to get going, and then he had four straight finishes of third, second, second, and second. Only three starts this season, but didn't make his first appearance until about 5 weeks ago. So now this could be a spot where he peaks. Maybe it's like, okay, I need three or four events to get going, and then he's going to fire like he did when he had four top two or three finishes in a row. Tom Lewis, 46-1, British player. Third in Saudi Arabia a couple years ago. These are Paspalham greens, so high finishes in Dubai, which also feature those greens. Will Gordon, a guy I played last year here, actually did not make the cut, but gains a lot off the tee. He's made six of seven cuts. He also almost won an event on Monday, not an official PGA Tour event, but a lot of these PGA Tour pros played at Seminole Golf Club on Monday in the pro member event, where many down in Jupiter, many tour players live there, have membership, and he was second in that event. So, you know, maybe some good vibes for Will Gordon. I mean, it's a little bit reaching on narratives, but that's what you have to do in alternate events. Lucas Herbert, 50-1, narrative street here again. He was the last guy that did not make it into the Dell Match Play. He's rated 72nd in the official world golf rankings. He was the last guy cut out of it. So maybe it's like, okay,
the old axe-to-grind angle.
I couldn't get in there, so now I got to get going here and get in here. Camilo Villegas, 75-1. Needed a T3 last week at the Honda Classic, but he finished eighth. So he fell short, So he's lost his playing privileges a little bit, still has sponsor exemptions and can get in fields like this. Gets another opportunity, a weaker field, obviously. He missed a lot of time on the tour. He lost his daughter, sadly. So this could be a good spot for Vijaygas to play really good golf. Ted Potter Jr., 101, my longest shot. Good player on coastal golf courses, back-to-back top tens in Puerto Rico, had one last year at the Sony, also a former winner at Pebble Beach, a coastal layout. So Ted Potter Jr. at 100-1 made sense.
Yeah, you and I are on Sepp Straka at 40-1. Great ball striker. Always seems to play fairly well. Makes a lot of cuts because of how good a ball striker he is. And you look at these alternate events. You look at Puerto Rico, Punta Cana, the Bermuda. Straka always is hanging around, and I think one of these days he's going to get a victory. I thought 40-1 was a pretty good
price.
He's
a big hitter off the tee, too.
Brian, speaking of big hitter off the tee, Jonathan Vegas. I'm going back to the well with him. He performed pretty darn well at the Honda Classic last week, just really unraveled on Sunday. He really had a shot to cash a top 20 finish for us and almost made it anyway. I like the way Johnny Vegas has played offshore as well.
Yeah, he was second at Puerto Rico. Fortunately, we had Brandon Grace and were able to beat him down the stretch, but he was right there in Puerto Rico, so absolutely makes sense in these alt events.
The other guy I took was my long shot at 100-1. Brian Stewart, maybe the most accurate driver of the golf ball off the tee on tour. We'll see if we can cash one in Punta Cana. We'll be right back with Major Implications. First major of the new season will take place in 16 days. Believe it or not, the Masters is almost here again. Of course, it was with us in November in 2020, but now back to its usual spot in April the 8th, 2021. They will roll down Magnolia Lane, and we have a new game here. Who would you rather have in pocket with a ticket to win the Masters? And we'll start with the first matchup here. Rory McIlroy or Justin Thomas? Rory McIlroy currently at 16-1 to win the Masters, or would you rather have Wes Justin Thomas down to 12-1? He was as high as 20-1 in some spots before he won the Players.
I'm as big a Rory McIlroy fan as anybody here at VSiN, but what we talked about in the previous segment with Alex Myers working with the new swing coach, clearly always capable, and we talked about Brady during the Players Championship week. The reason why I bet Justin Thomas largely was because of price. You want to get a guy on the drift and a little bit on the upswing in terms of a number. With Rory McIlroy, you never really see him drift that much upwards where you get a really good price on him because he's Rory McIlroy. If he was 20-1, I'd be like, okay, I never get Rory at 20-1. I'm in, even though he's doing some swing changes. But Justin Thomas, the number's been depressed here, but much better form. He has actually improved every single year. He has been at Augusta National 39th, 22nd, 17th, 12th, 4th last fall in 2020. He's getting it right here, and eventually he's going to break through. So I don't love the price, but it'd be Thomas for me.
Well, I already have Justin Thomas in pocket. I got him at plus 1525, which was the best number I could find at the time. And then I bet him again when he drifted up to 19. I didn't get 20, but I got bought in a few more times at 19. Even here at the South Point, he was at 18, grabbed a little more at 18. Now they have since gone down to 10-1 on JT. And I think the point you make about Rory, I think he always gets bet in this championship as well because people are rooting for that Grand Slam, right? And is it going to be the year that he's going to complete the career Grand Slam? But no, I'm with you on Justin Thomas there. Hopefully he can find a good number, but I think you're probably not going to find a whole lot higher than 12-1 now after his win at the Players. The second matchup, Xander Schauffele at 20-1 or Patrick Cantlay at 25-1. Both of these guys down the stretch a couple of years ago when Tiger won it.
Yeah, this is actually a very tough one because these are guys I both like to bet. I probably will end up having a ticket on Patrick Cantlay. I had him a couple years ago when he was in the mix, the year Tiger won in 2019, fell to a T9, disappointed here last fall. Xander Schauffele also was T2 in 2019 and finished tied for 17th with Cantlay this past November. Xander has not been in good form lately, but he is kind of that big game hunter. You never also see him adjust. Oddsmakers have a lot of respect for him. So he probably should be 25 to 30 to 1 here instead of 20 to 1.
Yeah, more like Cantlay is, right?
Yeah, I think you're getting the better bargain and the better price on Cantlay, who has been a more recent winner, also has about similar form to Xander Schauffele here at Augusta National. So it'd be Cantlay for me.
Yeah, I already have a ticket on Cantlay as well. Got him at 30. And, you know, you've talked about this before, Wes, and I have bet Schauffele a couple times. I can't remember where and when, but his number is always depressed. And I don't want him at 20 to 1. 30? Yeah, I might take a shot.
He doesn't win enough, I think, to be in that number. And Matt Eumanns and I both bet Xander Schauffele a lot, but he's just never, you know, if he was a guy that won two or three times a year, yeah.
Sure.
He should be in the 20s or in the kind of the mid-teens, but just doesn't get there enough for me.
The game is there, but the victories are not.
No.
And so I don't like the way his price matches up. Third matchup, Joaquin Niemann, the youngster, at 60 to 1, or Scotty Scheffler. Scheffler making his second Masters appearance. He was here in November for his debut. Scheffler at 60 to 1, Niemann also at 60 to 1.
Boy, it feels like one of these guys, or if not both of them, are going to win some kind of big event. I don't know if it's a major, but Scotty Scheffler is still seeking his first PGA Tour win, by the way, despite the fact that he was Rookie of the Year. T4 at the PGA, T19 at the Masters, so that's very well respected for your rookie year in terms of majors. We know this guy's got the game. Niemann, I think, is going to win very soon. He has not played this since 2018, though, so I'm going to go with Scotty Scheffler here. I think he's a little bit more proven in the majors, although I think both of these guys are going to win something big here, maybe within this calendar year.
I really like both of these players. I was big on Scotty Scheffler last year in his rookie year. Actually had a ticket on him to win the Masters in the neighborhood of 100 to 1 or so. Not going to bet either of these guys this year, but as far as would you rather, I'd be with you on Scheffler. I don't know if Niemann has the mettle just yet to come down the stretch and convert a major championship. Scheffler, and you talk about this a lot, Wes, he's been through the ringer a little bit already. He was in the final pairing with Dustin Johnson at that PGA Championship at Harding Park. So you have to be battle-tested.
You got to have some scar tissue.
Right, right. And I don't know. Niemann, of course, has won on tour before. He had some near misses in Hawaii this year. I love him as a player. I don't know if his game completely matches Augusta because the short game is really where he lacks some prowess. His strength is ball striking. I would absolutely be on Scheffler here in that matchup against Joaquin Niemann. Final matchup here, Corey Connors at 100 to 1 or Matthew Wolf at 100 to 1. And we talked about this with Alex Myers. Matthew Wolf has really fallen off the map, just been in lousy form as of late.
Yeah, and I think it's the form, but I also think he has some injuries. He's withdrawn from a couple events. I think he had a hand injury at the Farmers Insurance Open where he shot 78 on that opening round. And sometimes you're always cynical or skeptical about injuries because it's like, oh, I had a bad round, so I don't want to feel like I'm embarrassing myself. Matthew Wolf was a guy I was actually looking toward the end of the year. I was like, okay, who do I like for the Masters here in 2021? And he was a dude that I really liked. And now you're getting him at 100 to 1. But with all of these injuries, because Matt Wolf last year, look what we saw at the PGA, T4. Second to Bryson at Wingfoot for the U.S. Open. So that's pretty darn good for what is essentially your rookie year at the majors. Corey Connors been playing a lot better lately. He was T10 actually here last fall at the Masters, by far his best finish at a major. And he just had his best finish at the Players Championship, finishing 7. We know the story on Corey Connors. This guy can be very shaky with the putter, especially on like 3 or 4 footers, which is maybe not the best place for the Dell Match Play this week. But the greens in regulation, the strokes gained approach, strokes gained off the tee, always there for Corey Connors. It's just, can he make a putt? So With Wolf's injury, I'd say Connors here.
Yeah, I'm with you on Connors as well. Not my ideal fit for the Masters. Obviously had a great tournament in November. But, you know, I think we're only 16 days away from the Masters. I don't know if Wolf is going to heal up or turn the form around in time. So in that matchup, I would absolutely be on Corey Connors as well. Time to make our plays in the match play segment coming up next right here on Long Shots.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
Welcome back to Long Shots. Brady Cannon and Wes Reynolds with you, and it is our match play segment where we go over our plays for this week's tournament. Of course, that is the WGC World Golf Championship match play event at Austin Country Club in Austin, Texas. And we'll start with our colleague Matt Eumanns' plays. He did not do any head-to-head matchups this week, and it's kind of a tough go here as far as head-to-head matchups because, Wes, we're only going to give out our plays for the first round. They reshuffle the deck, and they will have a different matchup every day thereafter. And when we get to the weekend, they're going to have more than one match in a day in some cases. So these are not necessarily full tournament head-to-head matchups like we typically have. We will throw some out there for the first round. But Matt Eumanns went with the futures only. And as far as the futures that Matt was on, I thought he went with one of the favorites. I don't know if you saw. Did he go? He didn't go with DeChambeau. And he didn't go with Dustin Johnson. There it is. He went with Colin Morikawa, another guy, a shorter shot that he likes at 20-1. Xander, there he is, back on Mr. Schauffele. Colin Morikawa at 20-1. I believe this is his first time playing in the match play event. Schauffele at 25-1. Abraham Answer, I don't think that's a bad play at all. Those type of guys, I think he's kind of like a Kevin Kistner guy. Very straight hitter, good short game, steady Eddie, 60-1. Those type of guys win this thing sometimes. And then his long bomb there on the South African, Dylan Fratelli, and a University of Texas alum is Fratelli. So coming from Austin, of course, at 175-1.
Yeah, and I considered Fratelli as well with this because he is a UT alum, as you mentioned, a former teammate of Jordan Spieth. Every single year since they've gone to this format, somebody either 50 or higher has reached the quarterfinals here. So don't be afraid to have one of these guys in terms of if you're looking for somebody to reach the finals. Colin Morikawa, clearly in good form. First time here, though, he is in a group with Billy Horschel, Max Homa, and JT Poston. Xander Schauffele actually has a tough group at the top with Scottie Scheffler, Jason Day, and Andy Sullivan. Sullivan, the distant fourth choice in that group. And then Fratelli going forward, I actually kind of like him a little bit, maybe to come out of this group. He's got Tony Finau, who hadn't played in a few weeks, Jason Kokrak, Will Zalatoris, who this is also his first time here at Austin in this match play event, and then, of course, Fratelli. So I think he's got some live ones there.
Well, let's take a look at your schedule there, and I think you and I may have landed on one guy that we have in common, but give me the Wes Reynolds rundown.
Okay, John Rahm, 14-1, simply played him a little bit on his draw here because he's got Ryan Palmer, who he won the Zurich Classic with in New Orleans a couple of years ago, but who he beat the brakes off when they were in the final group at Memorial last summer where Rahm won. And then he also has Sebastian Munoz making his event debut. Shane Lowry has never advanced out of pool play here, despite the fact he played solid last week at the Honda Classic. If he gets it around a 16 and out of this group, which he should, Daniel Berger maybe could meet him, and he has a poor record here. The rib injury forced him to withdraw as the tourney favorite at the Honda Classic. Then he could maybe get Xander Schauffele or Rory McIlroy. That's if the seeds hold the form, which they don't always do in these groups. They're a bit out of form in the moment, even though they're always formidable. Rahm's ball striking has been good. The putter needs to come along, but this could be maybe the spot. Matt Fitzpatrick, I know you like Spieth. It's basically a coin flip match between Fitzpatrick and Spieth. The winner of that is probably going to get out of that group. And we talked about Wolf's injuries, and Connors can kind of miss some shorties in pressure situations. Tommy Fleetwood, 60-1, a little bit of a gamble because Bryson DeChambeau is in his group. Mm-hmm. And obviously, he is the overwhelming favorite there.
Taking a lot of tickets is Bryson, too.
Yes, he is. And seven of the 16 players in this quarter, where Fleetwood is, are actually making their respective event debuts. Has not gone off the boil here, has not been in very good form, but historically a good match play player. Very good. Of course, remember Molly Wood from the last Ryder Cup. Yeah. Him and Francesco Molinari absolutely killed it for Team Europe. Good Bermuda putter. Thought 60-1 was worth it. And then Russell Henley, 80-1, a little narrative street here. Russell Henley, good form lately. He's probably played some of the best golf of his career over the last year. Hasn't won, though. 55 in the OWGR. You got to get in the top 50 to get in the Masters. He's actually not in any of the majors, which I was very surprised at. I was like, really? He's been getting top 10s and all these great finishes and not in any of the majors. Now, he was actually in a similar situation back in 2017 where he needed to win an event, actually, to get, which he doesn't have to do this week, but he actually needed to win an event to get to Augusta. And he won the Houston Open, if you remember that year. Draws not easy, though. Yes, Sungjae Im and his group. Potential meeting with Dustin Johnson in the round of 16, who has won here in the past, beat Rahm back here in 2017. Putting and ball striking have been so good of late. Kind of not impossible to see him making a run. And then I did play a couple group plays here, and mostly second and third choices in the group, like Alex Meyer said, not necessarily going with the chalk. Louis Oosthuizen plus 275 over JT Kisner and Kuchar. Max Homa I actually like out of group four over Morikawa, Horschel, and Poston. Cameron Smith, the mullet man, plus 240. He's going to win a big event. You got to think at some point he's playing really well in some big events over McIlroy, Lance O'Griffin, Ian Poulter. I did go with Kokrak plus $3 over Finau, Zalatoris, and Fratelli. And then Russell Henley, of course, plus 270 over Sungjae, Mark Leishman, and Victor Perez.
Well, interesting. In a head-to-head matchup, starting out on the first round, I took Henley over Sungjae Im. Sungjae Im, you know, he had a pretty good finish at the Honda as the defending champ, but he's been a little bit off. He's always been able to find one round in a four-day tournament where he really kind of came off of his swing and hasn't not done too well in a while. And Henley, like you mentioned, I mean, his stats fly off the page. He's been in really good form, had a nice week at the Honda, got him at plus 115 in a head-to-head in the opening round against Sungjae Im. Another head-to-head matchup I took was Carlos Ortiz at plus 125 over Hideki Matsuyama, and I mentioned it a little earlier in the program. I like to bet on guys that have great short games, and Carlos Ortiz is one of those guys, a steady Eddie player, and he's going against a guy in Matsuyama who does not have a reputation for a great short game. So, I liked Ortiz at the plus price there. And then finally, I took Webb Simpson in a first-round matchup at minus 165 over Taylor Gooch. And we talked about Webb Simpson and his poor track record here at the match play. But this is more of a fade of Taylor Gooch. And you talked about it. Webb Simpson's success at the Wyndham and at Pete Dye courses. It should fit his game. Maybe this will be the week it does. But Taylor Gooch, this is an absolute step up in class for him. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, this guy's in newfound territory where he's rubbing elbows with the top 64 in the world. I think that's going to be a little bit of stage fright for him.
Yeah, I could absolutely see that being in that group and not being a proven commodity really here in this event, even though I think he's a good player. It was kind of like what we talked about with the market last week when Pat Mayo was on with us as a guest right here on Long Shots. Like, Lanto Griffin is somebody that's usually like 125-1 player that was priced down at 35-1. Right. So all of a sudden, when you get that kind of variance, even if the field is weaker, that's something that makes you question it going forward. And I think by far he should be the biggest underdog in the group, and I believe that he is. But Rory, always going to be the favorite in anything. Cam Smith, who I took and is playing really well. And then Poulter. Poulter can be out of form and then be such an ace in match play.
Well, how he many did the same thing as Henley, right?
Yes.
He won the Houston Open to get into the Masters himself.
How many years have we seen Poulter be like a captain's pick for the Ryder Cup? And it's like, man, this guy
and he looks like
very
a Pac-12
well,
basketball team,
and he just rips your throat out, man. That's what he does in the Ryder Cup.
No doubt about it. He is lethal when it comes to match play. I wouldn't be surprised to see his success here at all. As far as my outrights, and I mentioned this earlier in the program, Wes, I want to readdress this with people. I think you're wise to dumb down your units here. Go small this week. There's so many opportunities for betting. You can bet the groups, the head-to-heads, the outrights. There's a lot of different bets to make, and they can all be very difficult. It's not like a typical stroke play tournament. So, you know, maybe go down to a quarter unit on everything you're doing or whatever it is, but dumb it down is my recommendation here, because it's a tough one to call. Now, conversely, it's a fantastic one to watch. It is really exciting because every shot in match play means something, and it's a blast when you've got some action on this event. As far as my outrights, you know, the stats just, I couldn't get away from it, how well DJ makes sense here with the ball striking, the short game, just across the board. He's really number one as far as the stats field in the field this week, Wes, and I got him at 14-1. I could see him, you know, he's kind of been off the radar a little bit. I could see him coming here and doing it again before he gets ready to defend his title at Augusta National. Jordan Spieth, obviously a Texas guy, has played well at Colonial, kind of a similar setup here, a great match play player. He comes in a group where I think he can get to Fitzpatrick and some of these other guys. He's been in fantastic form as of late. I think this is a really good spot for Jordan Spieth. And then also went with Louis Oosthuizen, who has one of the best records of the entire field here, and a crazy number. Listed at 40-1 at most spots, but at Circa found him at 58-1. I wouldn't be surprised to see Louis farewell here again. And then Kevin Na is been a guy that I've liked at this tournament in the past. Got him at 100-1. Now, he's in the same group with DJ. Mm-hmm. So obviously one of those guys or none of them could, but they can't both advance. So a little bit of a hedge on the bet here, but I really like both guys. Either one that gets out of that group into the final 16, I like either one of their chances at that point.
Yeah, and you mentioned, I'll go back to DJ, only Bryson DeChambeau and Brian Harman have been better on Pete Dye designs over the last, 24 rounds in terms of strokes gained. So DJ's got a lot of Pete Dye wins, so you usually can't go wrong with him here.
Well, and he's won here before. Of course, that great duel down the stretch with John Rahm in 2017. Should be a fun one to watch. Be careful with your bets, but enjoy the heck out of the view, because it is a good one to take in a good golf sweat down at Austin Country Club in Texas. Next week, we're in Texas again. Indy Jeff will join us to break down the Valero Texas Open right here on Long Shots. Enjoy the match play. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Keep it here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.